Funding for WBUR comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at mathworks.com.
This is 90.9 WBUR. Good morning. I'm Sharon Brody. Tributes are pouring in today for longtime Boston Mayor Kevin White. He died at his Beacon Hill home yesterday at the age of 82. White suffered from Alzheimer's for the past decade. Kevin White led the city for 16 years, from 1968 to 1984. His City Hall tenure spanned an era of great change and turbulence, including court-ordered school desegregation and the creation of Faneuil Hall Marketplace. WBUR's Bob Oakes joins us now with some remembrances.
Thank you, Sharon. We're joined this morning by two city leaders who got their start working in the mayor's office for Kevin White. Micho Spring, who became deputy mayor under Kevin White. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
And thank you very much for coming in this morning.
Thank you.
And Peter Mead, who joins us by telephone, who held several positions under Kevin White, including being the director of public safety during court-ordered busing. Good morning to you, Peter.
Good morning, Bob.
Boston, as we know it today, Faneuil Hall, the Big Dig, came in a way from Kevin White. Micho, how did Kevin White influence modern-day Boston?
Well, I think he was brick by brick is the best way to say it. I think both the re-energizing of the neighborhoods, you know, you've got to go back to how Boston looked in 1968 to really understand the profound impact that Kevin White had in this city. There hadn't been a new building built in Boston between, I think the first one was the Prudential after the Custom House. I mean, the Depression had really affected Boston, and this economy was just stagnant. And both re-energizing downtown, but equally important, the energy that he put into the neighborhoods, the little city halls, which Peter knows well, neighborhood health centers, community schools. It was just an endless, infusion of investment, and I think it was his belief that Boston could come back.
Peter Mead, I remember when I was growing up as a kid in Central Mass in the late 60s and the early 70s in my high school years that Boston was simply not an inviting place to come, and Kevin White wanted to change that.
Well, Micho talked about his rebuilding the city brick by brick, and she's right. He also rebuilt the city in terms of who was working in City Hall. I mean, a young woman from Cuba who became a deputy mayor, Jeep Jones, who was the first African-American deputy mayor, Barney Frank, his first chief of staff, who was a fellow from Bayonne, New Jersey. The City Hall itself opened up. It was certainly a white, largely Irish male bastion, and Kevin White changed that.
The two of you, of course, in the administration, you mentioned the future Congressman Barney Frank, Frank's brilliant sister Ann Lewis, Paul Grogan, future head of the Boston Foundation, Fred Salvucci, future head of the State Department of Transportation, the guy who was eventually given the title of the father of the Big Dig. What was it that drew young up-and-comers to Kevin White and him to them, Micho?
Well, his incredible energy and commitment and belief in the city was infectious, but I think also his philosophy. He used to very deliberately always say that he wanted to bring in people and that he felt, you know, were smarter than him, and that was fine. His really feeling comfortable in bringing in whatever talent it took. He took huge risks, gave us a lot of responsibility, and then drove us very hard. You always knew that you had to try to outwork the mayor, outthink him, and it was really impossible. He always had that one question that nobody in the room had thought about.
Peter?
It was amazing, his intellect. And I think that was one of the things. He failed in his mission to hire people smarter than he. I don't think I've met an individual smarter than Kevin. And he loved challenging people. I mean, getting into a tussle about, do we have all the options on the table? And as Micho said, he always asked a question that no one had thought of. And so you knew when you were talking to Kevin White about a serious problem, every scintilla of energy and intellect that you might possess had to be at the fore in order to be able to make a go of it.
Peter, what do you remember? What will you remember most as Kevin White's biggest dream?
Well, I think to make this a city, to put this city back on the charts, we've talked about we didn't recover as a city from the Depression until the 70s. And just, you know, the Prudential Building was built taking the place of the Mechanics Hall. We were stuck as a city, in some ways, back in the 20s. And Kevin White propelled this city into the 1970s and 80s.
You know, and he would never allow Boston to be considered anything but first rate.
You know, we use words like a transformational figure and things like that. Truly the case in Kevin White. Just one other point, if I could. I had breakfast with Kevin. He was long out of office, and Ray Flynn had left to become the ambassador to the Vatican. And the new mayor, Tom Menino, went to see Kevin White. He was teaching over at BU. And at breakfast the next week, Kevin was saying to me, you know, that Menino's got something. And Tom Menino had been supporting Joe Timilty in mayor's races against Kevin, but they almost instantly hit it off and became great friends. And it was a mark of, no matter whether you're Tom Menino from Reedville, who a lot of people dismissed, or a Harvard academic, or somebody who just had an idea, if you had talent, if you had some gift, Kevin had a great way to see it and nurture it.
You know, Peter, to that, I was thinking the other day of one thing he used to always say, that there were two kinds of politicians. Politicians who thought the business, as he called it, was for real, and politicians who thought it was a game. And he always used to say, I obviously he thought it was for real. I think he understood that Tom Menino thinks it's for real.
Tough subject. Kevin White shepherded the city during the busing desegregation years. Peter Mead, you were working in public safety for that time, or part of that time. As Kevin White prepared to leave office, he said he wished he could have used his skills more in the spring of 1974, and maybe it, busing, would have worked. Did you sense at that time that Mayor White was unsure how to handle busing? And what do you both think that he would have done differently?
Well, I think to Kevin's eternal frustration, he wasn't in charge of his city at that time. The school committee was elected separately, and they had set out to purposely segregate the schools. Boston did not have de facto segregation. It was de jure segregation. And Judge Garrity, who presided over the case, did not listen to city officials. I mean, I think he made his decision that the school committee was a disgrace, and I think every city official was pretty much dismissed. So I think one of the frustrations for Kevin White was it was one of those things, nobody was really in charge.
Many people recall the 1968 story that after the assassination of Martin Luther King, Mayor White persuaded WGBH-TV to broadcast a James Brown concert live from the Boston Garden as a way to keep people in their homes and keep the city safe when so many other cities across America were erupting into violence and quite vividly flames. White also secured $60,000 to pay Brown for the loss of ticket revenue. Here's an excerpt of what Kevin White said then on TV that night to residents of Boston less than 24 hours after Dr. King was killed.
So all I ask you tonight is this. So let us look at each other here in the gardens and back at home and pledge that no matter what any other community might do, we in Boston will honor Dr. King in peace.
Micho Spring, what's that say about Kevin White?
Well, the courage, first of all, the vision, but the courage to take an enormous risk. And, you know, on his personal commitment, it was all personal. He held the city together personally by walking the streets, by reaching out. And, of course, he had enormous, you know, credibility because he had been elected, credibility and responsibility because he had been elected by a very non-traditional coalition.
Another legendary evening, and some of this was just Kevin's instinct. I mean, there are very few people who have both the intellect and the gut that Kevin possessed. We were having difficulty, serious difficulty in the South End. Been a couple of nights of I wouldn't have called it rioting, but, you know, disturbances in the South End. And the Rolling Stones were arrested in Rhode Island. And there were the garden, Boston Garden, was full. And I remember we were talking about where are we going to put the police. And Kevin, he was in the South End, he said, we keep him here, I'm going to the Garden. And I remember grabbing him and saying, you're out of your mind. Now, I don't know if he knew who the Rolling Stones were at all, but he called to Rhode Island to get them released from jail. And that took some work to get done. I mean, you know, these guys were arrested on a drug charge or something like that. And he went to the Garden, and he told the people in the Garden what was going on, that the Rolling Stones had been arrested, but that he got them out of jail in Rhode Island. And they were on their way. And he said, I've ordered the MBTA to stay open. Of course, he had no authority to do that, but he did it. And when he said it was going to stay open, they did stay open. And I can't tell you, being around Kevin, the number of parents who walked up to him over the next several weeks and said to him, thank you for protecting my child. I mean, but it was, again, the instinct. And he put it on himself personally to go do that. What an incredible gut.
Yeah. And not only that, we can't forget, yes, his courage, yes, his intellect, but his wit. I mean, the Kevin White, you know, it was he just had the best wit. And Peter, I think you told me the story, which I was remembering, of John Henning meeting him down the steps of his house after a debate in the mayor.
Former Channel 4 reporter,
right,
John
former
Henning.
Former Channel 4 reporter. you know, right after the mayor had refused to debate his opponent and he wasn't going to do it. And John Henning, Mr. Mayor, Mr. Mayor, so you missed the debate tonight. And Joe Timothy had to debate an empty chair. What do you say to the people of Boston? And without missing a beat, he said, who won? He just had this instant ability to come up with just the right quip.
Let me ask a question about political ambition. The insiders say that for a brief time, and when I say brief time, I mean a matter of hours, in 1972, he was George McGovern's vice presidential running mate. The legend says it was the Kennedy family that scuttled that, presumably wanting the Kennedy name as the continue to be the top political name associated with Boston and Massachusetts. How disappointed was Kevin White to not be George McGovern's running mate that year?
Well, I think it came as a surprise even to Kevin that he would be considered to be vice president. And it was one of those things, you now have it. You have the brass ring in your hand. And then it's gone. I think it was an incredible disappointment to have that taken away so quickly. But I think for Kevin, part of it was, wait a minute, I can play on this stage. And I think what happens, sometimes when you see presidential candidates up close, you say, and you look at the field and you say to yourself, and I think this happened to Kevin, he said, wait a minute. I'm as good as they are. And so I do think he had a Potomac bug that was the result of his being the vice presidential nominee for a couple of hours.
Let me close by going back to a bigger picture. I remember as a reporter in some of those years, we would all chuckle because Kevin White would add in his speech pattern an H to words that didn't necessarily belong there. And when he would talk about the phrase that Oliver Wendell Holmes first used in 1858, when Oliver Wendell Holmes called Boston the hub of the universe, Kevin would sometimes say the hub of the universe. But I bring that up because, in a way, that phrase was a vision for Kevin White, Boston as the hub of the universe.
And Boston as a world-class city, and both. And yes, he believed in it when there was no reason to believe in it, if you really looked around. And he fought every ounce of it to get it to where it really then took off. And he deserves a lot of credit.
And Peter Mead.
Well, I think even after he was mayor, as the city made a gain, he took such pride in it, and he knew that he was, frankly, a transformational figure in the city, and he had a lifelong love affair with the city of Boston.
Peter Mead, Micho Spring, thank you very much for helping us this morning remember former Boston Mayor Kevin White.
Thank you, Bob.
Thanks, Bob.
Peter Mead held several positions under Mayor Kevin White and is now in the Menino administration as the director of the Boston Redevelopment Authority. Micho Spring was deputy mayor under Kevin White and is now president of Weber Shandwick New England. They spoke with WBUR's Bob Oakes following yesterday's death of former Boston Mayor Kevin White. This is 90.9 WBUR.